WRCE. Author Karen Hodges Miller is joining us on WRCO Radio. We're talking about the book Hibiscus Strong and kind of looking over your family history. It's a very fascinating subject, Karen. And I guess, how did you first get the idea that you wanted to do this?
Well, people are surprised, but I basically say I planned to write this book my entire life. Literally, when I was 8 years old, I wrote in my diary that I was going to write a book about my family. And then it took me another 50 years to do it. but I started, the book is written as a lot of interconnected short stories. And the first short story I actually wrote was for a high school assignment. So, yes. So it's been in the works a little bit.
So the high school assignment is a part of the book then?
The story that I started as the high school assignment is in the book. It got, you know, it changed and improved from my high school writing style. But yes, it is there.
Give us the insight into the title, Hibiscus Strong.
Okay. Well, I am from Miami, Florida. And I am someone very unusual. I am a third-generation Miamian, and there are not a lot of us around, particularly at the age I am, because Miami's a very young city. It's only about 125 years old right now. And my family was all from Miami, and Florida just seems to grow very quirky characters. And as I was thinking about writing the book, and I was thinking about steel magnolias, but magnolias are kind of a bland, white, pale flower, and no one in Miami would ever claim to be bland or pale. And so I thought about hibiscus, and you know, I explained that we are the women in my family are kind of like hibiscus. We are strong and ready for anything, and You always, if you grow up in Florida, you always have to be ready for the alligator at your front door, whether it's a real one or a metaphorical one.
Uh-huh. So, some different challenges than here in Wisconsin, in other words.
Yeah, but we don't do snow. Yeah. We're like, alligators, no problem. Yes. Snow. Don't give us a plague.
A problem. Yeah, exactly. But you, while you were digging, you found some interesting things, some footnotes about your family history. Could you tell us about some of those?
Well, you know, that almost, when you say that, it almost makes my mind go blank, of course. But some of the things is, and some of these were stories that my family told. But my great-grandfather was the engineer who drove the first train into Miami and the first train into Key West. And he also had a story that he told the family. He was an engineer on the train when during a hurricane. And he swore that the wind blew so hard that the train actually blew backward down the tracks. And so I talk a little bit about that, and I am not sure I really believe the train blew backward down the tracks. But that is the way the story was always told in my family. So, yes.
And you had a grandfather that was a plumber, is that correct?
Yes. My grandfather was the plumber, and he happened to have been the plumber for Al Capone. And Al Capone had his summer house on one of the islands out in Biscayne Bay. and Star Island, I think it was. And my grandfather would always say he never met Al Capone. He only dealt with Mrs. Capone, and Mrs. Capone was always very polite and always paid in cash.
Oh, interesting.
So yes, he actually enjoyed working for them because it was always cash.
Oh, I'm sure of that. you know, what were some of the tools you used to go back and find some of these things? Because they're not all written down.
Well, you know, first I'll say, again, my family are storytellers. We've always told stories. So a lot of this I would hear from at family parties and things. But then I decided to write it, and I would think about something, and I would realize I only had part of the information, or I couldn't remember exactly when something took place. And so I started using Ancestry.com, which is wonderful. If anyone is going to look up their family or write there about their family, I definitely suggest it, not just for the basics of, you know, when somebody was born and when they died. You can find all sorts of little tidbits that people have put on it. And, for example, and this is one I just found, and I'm still researching to this day, but something I just found on it was one of my great-grandmothers was arrested, basically living with someone who she was not married to. And I'm researching that and finding out more about it, and that's... I'm starting to think there could be a book too here.
Awesome.
So, yeah, what was that all about? I've got to find out more. But I would suggest that everyone, number one, when you have your relatives, and we just passed Thanksgiving, but if you see your relatives at Christmas, start asking them their stories. Collect the stories, and then just keep researching. Ancestry.com, newspapers.com is another one. And I was described as having the obsessive compulsive subscription to newspapers.com. It has newspapers literally from around the world. Some go back a couple of hundred years. And it is a great place. The only thing I will tell you is if you have a common name like Miller, it can be a little more difficult. The part of my family with the more unusual name, Sawija, was much more easy to research than the Miller, Hodges, Rogers portion of it, because there's so many Millers in this world.
I bet. So one of the most important things is to kind of get that family tree established, then, in other words, right?
Start with the family tree and then go to the hints on the family tree and look at things and take the time to read what other people have put on. And, take some of it with a grain of salt, because, you know, one family puts something up and it gets there, and not necessarily, you know, they have a chance to put their own stories on that are possibly true and possibly not. But, yes, and then there's another site called Fold3, fold3.com, and that is for military history. And I did a lot there. And interestingly enough, I was given that site by an author friend who has done some Civil War biographies. And what I've learned is, if you're researching the Revolution or the Civil War, Fold 3 is actually better than for World War II, because there was a large fire at a warehouse where, back when documents were all paper, where a lot of the World War II documents were stored. And so a lot of World War II documents about people are just not available. But still, you go on and you see what you can find, it's truly, yeah, I can just, if I have 15 minutes, I can go on Ancestry and start looking somebody up and always find something fun.
Well, what's interesting is somebody listening today might say, well, I don't have any interesting stories. You know, my grandfather wasn't a plumber for Al Capone or anything like that, but I guess we never know till we start looking, do we?
Well, you don't have to, but my family always said nothing, you know, there's nothing interesting. In fact, you know, my mother's comment always about the fact that my grandfather, great-grandfather had driven the train into Miami, the first train into Miami, was too bad he wasn't Flagler, the tycoon who owned the train. It was like, yeah, you know, no, nobody in my family did anything important. They didn't do anything famous. They were just average people. But it's not about doing something important. I think it's just about having a sense of the story and turning something into a story in the way that we talk when we are at the dining table.
You could find out some things that you don't really want to know, too, couldn't you?
Well, yes. Like I said, you know, I've got some great-great-grandparent who apparently was living unmarried with someone, and I'm still, like I say, I'm still trying to find that one out. Yeah, I do think that you will find things out that maybe you don't want to. I you know, my family's from the South. A lot of them lived in Georgia. If it's going to bother you, if you want to find out that your family owned slaves and you're from Georgia, don't be surprised. Yeah, that's not particularly acceptable today. But I also had family that fought for the North in the Civil War. So I've got all sides, and yeah, there's always things you might not want to find out. I found out one uncle was divorced. He had been married to a showgirl in the 20s in Chicago, which was never mentioned. That was one of those stories that never got mentioned at family dinner. So yeah, there's always things that you learn, and hey, you know, if it happened to someone who's alive today, it's embarrassing. If it happened to a great grandparent or earlier, it's a fun story.
Sure. I know. I read in your notes that you were scared to show it to your sister. What happened?
I always swore I would never write this book until I was the last man standing in the family. And I got convinced that I should start writing these stories. And I was terrified to show my sister because she and I are the last ones who remember these people and these things. And I was sure that she would remember things differently, I think I shouldn't have said certain things. And she loved it. She thinks it's wonderful. She's giving it to people, although there are some people she won't give it to because she says she doesn't want them to see, like, a picture of herself as a child. But we had a great time laughing about some of the stories. And then she's reminded me of other stories that I had totally forgotten. And that's the thing. Each of us, you know, my sister and I are very close in age. We were at all the same family gatherings and same events. But what each person in your family picks out as important and remembers is different. And they each see it from their own view. So even if you think that you're the one, you know this story, you know it back and forth, someone else will have a different view of it and maybe see it in a different light.
Who's the bathing beauty on the cover of the book?
That is my grandmother. And the thing about that, and if you turn inside, the front page is the original black and white. The funniest thing about that is she hated that picture. She always hid it away, and we kept her several times from destroying it. But she was in a beauty contest in Miss Miami in 1922, and she won Miss Photogenic, and she was not given any money for it, but because she won this contest, she got to do a lot of photographs for advertising for Miami. And this was one photograph that she had kept, And then I gave it to a graphic artist who turned it into something incredible for the front cover of the book.
Fascinating stuff. Do you teach memoir writing, on a continual basis?
Yes, I do. I teach writing of all kinds, and memoir is just, I have worked with a lot of people over the years who are doing memoir, and the first thing I would say people need to realize is they think about memoir as just sitting down and telling the story of when they were a child, but a lot of different books that we write have some aspect of memoir in them. Even if you're, say, writing a business book, you're going to be telling stories of how you were successful in business, which is essentially part of memoir. So unless you're, writing some fantasy from another world, you probably have a little bit of memoir in whatever you are writing. Well, and I like to make sure people understand that.
How can people get a hold of you, Karen, if they would like to contact you?
Okay, well, there are several ways. The easiest one is my email, khmiller10@gmail.com. That can always get me. They can find out about Hibiscus Strong at hibiscusstrong.com. And obviously go to the website and on Amazon. Go to Amazon and look up Hibiscus Strong. And my company name is Open Door Publications. So opendoorpublications.com will get you to my website. So I have lots of ways you can find me.
After Hibiscus Strong, is there another book coming out?
Well, I was having problems with that, thinking, well, I've told all the stories. What else is there to do? But I'm starting to decide that I do have more stories. It's not fully formed in my head yet, but there will be some more stories about my family, yes.
It's interesting. And I think, all of us probably have a book in them about our family history, don't we?
Yes. And like I say, you don't have to have done something interesting, and you don't have to have done something dramatic. And I work with a lot of people who had something traumatic in their past that they want to write about. And I would say you don't have to have anything particularly traumatic either. Just think about your family and start writing. And start talking to your family.
I think the other thing is there are so many stories about our families, just how they persevered. And you talk about the Great Depression, how our ancestors came through that and survived. That'd be a good place to start, I'm sure, wouldn't it?
And not just the Great Depression, a lot of different stories. And we keep, over Thanksgiving, we kept hearing about how it was going to be such a rough Thanksgiving with families if they talked about politics. Well, when it gets, instead of talking about current events, ask each person to tell a story from their childhood, no matter when it was. And ask them each to tell a story about their own childhood and then about the oldest family member that they remember. And I think you'll be amazed at the story that you'll hear. I think it could make something really enjoyable for a holiday dinner.
I think so, too. And I think about the younger generation. I've said this before on the air that I think storytelling is kind of a lost art. We need to kind of bring that back, don't we?
Yes. And whenever my sister and I came home, let's say we'd gone camping with the Girl Scouts, and we lived with my mother and my grandmother and my grandfather, and they would all be sitting at the table, and they would say, tell us everything that happened. Tell it to us blow by blow. And that meant that we were supposed to tell from the moment we got in the car to the moment we got back out of the car in every little detail. That was how I was raised. You were to tell everybody at the dinner table everything that had happened during your day or whatever event that you had just come to. So that's how I learned to be a storyteller.
Good start. The book is Hibiscus Strong. Karen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Karen Hodges Miller joining us at WRCO as we talk about writing our own family memoirs. Maybe that's a good New Year's resolution for you. Joining us on the morning show, Michelle Reinen from the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, as we talk about some January notes. First of all, this is the time of year, Michelle, when lots of folks are looking at winter and spring vacations and travel plans. And again, you need to beware, don't you?
Exactly. We want people to use those best practices and keep them in mind when booking flights, lodging, and other travel plans. You might not be traveling yet, but you are looking ahead and making those reservations. So now's the time to be wary of vacation lodging scams. You know, these can be found on apps, social media, and other platforms that allow owners to rent out their houses and other lodging properties directly to consumers. And sometimes the property may not exist at all, so we need consumers to be cautious. Other times, the promotional photos can be misleading, leaving the consumer with poor quality lodging compared to what they believed they were going to be paying for.
I know that a lot of folks, you shop around for bargains. We're all good at that. Sometimes it might be too good to be true, though, right?
Exactly. Keep that in mind. Make that the basis for the new year. Perform an internet search for the property's name and address before you book, no matter the price that you have and no matter where you found that accommodation. And then try combining that word search with things like review, scam, complaint, and see if anything concerning is returned. That's just one step in doing your research. And then the other is, if you are using a platform you're not accustomed to and don't have a lot of great experience with, if you are asked to move your conversation off of that platform and away from that platform, don't do it. Let that be a red flag for you. If you found a property on an app, contact the host only through the app, not through social media or text messages, because that's a sign of things not being guaranteed by the app's policies that the property may fall under. And of course, with all things, be cautious if you're asked to pay with cash, cryptocurrency, gift cards, wire transfer, or some other form of payment that's not reversible. Use that credit card to have the most security with that transaction that you can, and something that's traceable and disputable.
What are some other red flags that you can think of, Michelle?
Well, you want to make sure that you obtain written records of any cancellation policy or any statements that they make. And if those can't be provided to you in writing, that needs to also be a concern. And understand what exactly is being reserved. Are you guaranteed a specific accommodation, or is it not really a specific room being held for you? Is it a booking a service or attraction? Are there additional terms and conditions that you need to look at? And then if you're taking a flight, there's a whole other group of things that you can research and look at. And I'm going to say this first. Be sure that you take a look at the U.S. federal DOT rules that protect passengers across the board, and you can learn more at transportation.gov/airconsumer, because there are all sorts of rights that consumers have with airlines, and that's you could be offered refunds for canceled or significantly delayed flights, the locate lost luggage and repair, reimburse any damage to luggage that's in their possession. Airlines must compensate passengers for reasonable and verifiable incidental expenses. So you want to know and understand those. So if you run into a situation where you are delayed, you can assert those rights with those airlines.
I know that, it's a must if you're going to go across the country to fly quickly, but sometimes the whole thought of it makes me tired, Michelle.
It can. Sometimes it can just be what? Smooth as silk? Is that how they say it?
Yes.
Other times there can be bumps in the road, and sometimes it can just be massive delays, and some are weather, and we just can't control that. And other can be airline confusion and issues that they are having with their own technology and things. And patience is going to be the key, communication and documentation to navigate that space.
You want to check in advance if you're flying somewhere, too, probably, several days out to make sure everything's still going, right?
Yes, that is a wonderful suggestion. Check days out, check day of. But don't be fooled. You know, if your flight's scheduled and they say delayed and so you stay at home, you know, that can turn around at the same time because you don't know what the delay is. If it's not weather, if it's a crew and they find a crew, that delay can change quickly. So you do need to be sure that you are where you need to be, when you need to be there, and able to pivot and navigate according to all the changes that can happen.
For certain reasons, they may not give you back your refund or switch it to another flight then, right, if they don't have to?
Yeah, that could be a situation. And again, that's where it's really important to know your rights and be sure you document, put things in writing to the airline. And of course, you can file a complaint here at DADCAP if you're not getting a response from the airline and you think that you should be entitled to a consumer right that they aren't. And we'll help you get that written response and see if it's compliant with those federal rules that they have in place. And we'll work with the U.S. Department of Transportation on that.
Another topic you wanted to hit on this week is the law enforcement impersonators. You've seen an uptick on that recently, I understand.
We have scammers who are impersonating law enforcement agencies and officials, and they're doing that through phone, through text message, through email. The scams are attempting to take different forms and targeting different people from all sorts of locations across the state. It's not one target area, but there are similarities. And what that is that the scam usually begins as a phone call that appears to come from a local law enforcement agency like the local police department or sheriff's office. And they're using caller ID manipulation. They are spoofing that phone number so it looks like it is coming from that local police department and sheriff's office. And once that scammer has the consumer on the line, they're making threats. And those do vary. They can say that you failed to appear for jury duty, that there's a warrant out for your arrest, that they owe you or that you owe them unpaid fines. And some even say that they're conducting an investigation on fraudulent PPP loans from the COVID times. So lots of different threats that can apply both to consumers at their residence, and professionals are being contacted at their places of work with these scams.
So some things to keep in mind, law enforcement probably is not going to ask for money, are they?
No, they're never going to demand cash, gift cards, cryptocurrency, or any form of immediate payment. You may have a fine or a fee that needs to be paid, but they aren't going to demand that happen during that phone call. And then remember, don't trust that caller ID. They are using that caller ID to lend legitimacy to their scam. And of course, scammers threaten you because they want you to comply without questioning their identity or motives. But before you comply, please pause. Ask yourself questions. Consider talking to someone you trust about the situation, especially when the individual says you need to keep it a secret. That needs to be a red flag.
We've had a caller ID here the last couple of weeks, and it's a very prominent publication. And you pick it up and you hear the typical click in the background, and, you know, there's no one there. And they're obviously using their title to try and get to people, I'm sure, Michelle.
Yes, and that happens across the board. But it's most concerning when it's happening with law enforcement or government officials because people are more responsive to that than even a business. And so we need to be sure that we're recognizing those signs and doing what we can to control those situations by either not picking up or hanging up right away.
Well, lottery winnings is another topic where, you know, consumers can be tricked there a little bit, Michelle.
They can. You know, this is the time of year when we see all sorts of sweepstakes, some of them promoted on the television, some legit, but then those impersonators come out. But we have received complaints for consumers already this year that have received a letter. The scammers here sent a formal, legitimate-looking letter to the consumer, which included a fake, non-cashable sample check for over $16,000, and that was to try and gain that consumer's trust. The letter explained that the consumer had been automatically entered in the lottery by making a credit card purchase at a participating grocery store or gas station, and then that resulted in them winning over $1 million to be distributed in monthly increments after fees had been paid. So the letter goes on to ask the consumer to call a phone number, but it warns them that they have had failed attempts to reach them by phone, and this letter was that final notice before their account was canceled and their winnings were lost. So it adds that urgency to the situation. In order to access the winnings, they needed to pay over $10,000 in those fake taxes and fees. And of course, the consumers asked to keep their fake winnings a secret for security and media release purposes because they want to do a big announcement. So they don't want them letting the cat out of the bag and sharing their good fortune with anyone at this point in time. But we need people to rip this letter up and not respond to it.
We'll have more from Michelle Reinen when Sunrise from the Center continues following a news update.
Clint Black on Country and Community, WRCO.
Through the holidays, you may have thought, one day soon, I'll get back to all the things I put off for the holidays. Well, one day soon is here, and so is Macy's One Day Sale, with specials on everything you want and need right now, like 25 to 40% off active gear from Adidas, Reebok, and The North Face. With deals this good, you can treat yourself to this, that, and anything else you've been eyeing. It's time to seize your one day soon, because this one day sale is going on now at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
At this past Wednesday sale at the Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola, both calves and slaughter cows were stronger after the holiday sales. Holstein bull calves sold up to $670, with the beef crossbred heifer calves up to $810. The better yielding and conditioned slaughter cows sold from $91 to $1.15, with the poor yielding milk down cows from $70 to $1.10. Poor condition, 12 to 1,500 pound dairy heifers, they range from $1.10 to $1.25. Our next feeder sale will be on Friday, January 17th. Demand continues to be strong, but supplies of feeders are limited. With the price of fat cattle, I would expect the feeder cattle to continue to be active with even a modest price increase on the better quality feeders. All of us at the Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola wishes all of our customers a prosperous and happy new year, and Darren and Colton and Jim will continue to provide you with an active and competitive market in the coming new year.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Today is sponsored by Computer Connections Y-Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities, and by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies, caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs. A few flurries possible today, fairly mild and a high of 29. Tonight, partly cloudy and chilly, a low of 12. Right now in Richland Center, after a dusting of snow this morning, it is 22.
BL Signs, a full-service sign design company in Richland Center, specializes in creating all types of interior and exterior signage to meet your needs, from internally lighted aluminum sign cabinets to post and panel signs, LED channel letters, vinyl lettering, and more. BL Signs has you covered for your project, big or small. Call BL Signs today at 647-0149 to see what they can do for you. BL Signs, Richland Center.
I'm Phil Nee with a look at news this morning. The suspect in a Juneau County triple homicide was found yesterday. According to the Juneau County Sheriff's Office, 47-year-old Virgil Thew was apprehended Thursday in Elroy, about 13 miles from the crime scene in New Lisbon. Thew is the suspect in the deaths of 33-year-old Elizabeth Kolba and two girls aged 12 and 13. The bodies were discovered December 30th in a New Lisbon home after one of the girls was reported missing. It's unclear when the victims were killed. Thew faces three counts of first-degree intentional homicide. The teen charged in the April 2022 murder and sexual assault of 10-year-old Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls is no longer identified by his initials in court documents. He is Carson Peters Berger. A Chippewa County judge unsealed the complaint against the 16-year-old on Thursday. Investigators say he killed Peters as he was escorting her home after spending a day with her aunt in the spring of 2022. He faces life in prison if found guilty. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes has provided an update on last month's shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. Barnes said investigators collected two firearms at the scene, but believe only one was used. 21 shell casings were recovered at the scene. The chief said at this time they will not be naming where these firearms were purchased. Barnes says police have yet to confirm a motive for why student Natalie Samantha Rupnow shot several people in a school classroom December 16th, killing a fellow student and a teacher and then herself. Barnes says detectives are examining Rupnow's social media activity and writing search warrants and subpoenas for social media and tech companies. No charging decisions will be made until detectives review all the evidence linked to the case. Respiratory illnesses are increasing across Wisconsin, including influenza. Department of Health Services epidemiologist Tom Haupt encourages you to get a flu shot. DHS is seeing an increase in hospitalizations for flu, as well as COVID and RSV. Vaccinations are available for all three and can lessen symptoms or even prevent infection. Haupt says it's unfortunate that the state's current flu vaccination rate is only about 30%. A flu shot can also help prevent co-infections with H5N1 bird flu, which could lead to severe illness. If you do become ill, you should stay home when possible and practice good hygiene, coughing into your sleeve, sneezing into a tissue, and washing your hands. A judge has ruled that a Wisconsin woman who stabbed her sixth grade classmate to please the horror character Slender Man can be released from a psychiatric hospital. Morgan Geiser, now 22, has filed four requests with Waukesha County Circuit Judge Michael Boren, seeking release from the Winnebago Mental Health Institute. Geiser withdrew her first petition in the summer of 2022. Boren denied her second request in April of 2024. Boren decided Thursday to grant her release. Geiser said Anissa Weyer was 12 in 2014 when they lured Peyton Lutnar to a Waukesha park. Geiser stabbed Lutnar 19 times while Weyer egged her on. Lutnar barely survived. The Department of Natural Resources laid out an updated plan on how the deer hunt is managed at a hearing this week. DNR deer program specialist Jeff Pritzel says much of the northern part of the state will revert to local habitat boundaries rather than county-wide boundaries. The changes come after a number of poor harvests in northern Wisconsin and requests from hunters to go back to more focused deer management. You can find out more about the changes and offer public comments online at dnr.wi.gov. And the Department of Health Services issues another round of opioid settlement funds from October through December of last year. DHS awarded more than $21 million to agencies across Wisconsin. That marks the largest amount awarded in a quarterly period since Wisconsin began receiving funds in 2022 from national litigation against pharmaceutical manufacturers, distributors, and pharmacy chains. Grants awarded support projects designed to prevent non-medical use of opioids, reduce the harms of opioid use, and expand access to treatment and recovery supports for people with an opioid use disorder. DHS has received about $75 million so far from the litigation and is due to get another roughly $153 million in funds through 2038.
When it comes to your mobile service, support matters. With Y-Connect Wireless, you're backed by local customer support and the friendly faces you know. Enjoy the power of the nation's largest and most reliable network. With small-town customer care, it's here when you need it. Y-Connect Wireless gives you big coverage and a local team to keep you connected. It's the 5G network you deserve from the people you trust.
A few more flurries possible this morning, otherwise fairly mild today, a high near 30. Partly cloudy and chilly tonight, a low of 12. Saturday clouds thicken with nice temperatures continuing at a high of 27. Sunday light snow tapering to flurries in the afternoon, possibly all total 1 to 2 inches from late Saturday night to Sunday afternoon. And then Monday and Tuesday, the high temps are only predicted to be about 11 degrees. A dusting of snow overnight right now, east to northeast winds at 4. It is 22 degrees.
Reducing the risk of illness is easy with a visit to Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Center and Boscobel Pharmacy are your vaccination headquarters for the flu, pneumonia, and shingles. No appointment needed. The helpful staff will have you in and out in no time, often at no charge with qualifying insurance or Medicare. Don't wait. Get protected today at Center Pharmacy on Orange Street or Boscobel Pharmacy in downtown Boscobel. The Shingrix vaccine is in stock, proven to be 90% effective for the prevention of shingles.
Hi, my name is Liz Perkins, RCHS co-principal. Although teens and young adults are becoming more independent, you still serve an important role in keeping them safe and healthy. Most addictions start in adolescence, a critical part of brain development. Young people need to know from you and our community how to make the right choice not to use substances. Get tools and tips at the Partners for Prevention Coalition of Richland County's website.
Sports Time is sponsored by Mr. G's Downtown Viroqua and in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your local source for clothes, boots, shoes, and for everything in style you need for work and play. And by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look back at high school sports last night, a look ahead as well at the weekend, including a football game on Sunday. Oh, yes, the Packers playing in the first round of the playoffs against the Eagles. Looking for the best in shoes and clothes? Look no further than Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center. Mr. G's has it all, from stylish outfits to durable work boots. Whatever you need, Mr. G's has you covered. Visit them today at 140 Richland Square or give them a call at 647-3543. Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, where quality meets style.
Shoes, Mr. G's.
In girls basketball, Platteville won a conference game against Richland Center. Final score 69-26. Two Platteville players scored 21 points each. Avery Richard and Rihanna Dye led the way for the visitors. Richland Center was led by Ella Weiss with 6. The JV1 game also went to Platteville 42-22. In other girls basketball, Lancaster over River Valley 60-31. And Prairie du Chien beat Dodgeville 53-20. River Ridge 38 and Highland 27. Also a win last night for Mauston over Adams Friendship, 50-40. In boys basketball, a win for Mineral Point over Riverdale, 78-40. Eli Lindsay led the Pointers with 18. Bevan Dennis with a total of 18 for Riverdale. It was a win for Darlington over Boscobel, 84-47. And Fenimore got by Iowa Grant, 65-60 in overtime. In the Ridge and Valley, it was Seneca over Weston, 94-50. Garrett Granger had 11 for Weston. Isaac Jennings and Trevor Westfall, 10 apiece. It was a win for Kickapoo over Wazika Steuben, 51-39. Elsewhere, victories for Westby over Viroqua, 74-64, and Royal, 75-22 over Oneewoc Center. Cuba City beat Southwestern, 63-58. Reedsburg, 81-58 over Portage. Baraboo beat Sauk Prairie, 71-46. Dual meet wrestling last night at Riverdale. It was a win for Cuba City Benton Southwestern over the Chieftains, 42-32. There is a dual meet night coming up tonight at Prairie du Chien, the Southwest Conference dual evening, which has been moved to earlier in the season. I asked Richland Center head coach Silas Coleman about moving that meet earlier.
So last year we kind of decided as conference coaches that we wanted to see this moved forward just because with having it later in the year, we'd wrestle those duels on one Saturday, and then the next Saturday we're wrestling each other again at the Clash. So it just made more sense for us to move them ahead earlier in the year, just that way we can, obviously get that competition in still, but then open up either a weekend just to kind of rest your guys or to pick up an additional tournament later in the year, which was a huge benefit for us this year with having our Tolma tournament canceled and being able to pick up another tournament later on.
Southwest Conference team wrestling all of their duels tonight at Prairie du Chien. Boys basketball, Prairie du Chien at Richland Center. We'll have the call on FM 100.9 and WRCO.com. Dodgeville at River Valley and Lancaster at Platteville. Cooley Christian is at Weston, Highland at Blackhawk. Girls basketball, Iowa Grant at Boscobel, Cuba City at Darlington, Mineral Point at Fenimore, and Riverdale at Southwestern. Ithaca is at DeSoto for boys and girls basketball. Wunniwak Center at Cashton, Bangor at Nisida, Reedsburg at Sauk Prairie as well. The Philadelphia Eagles are 4.5-point favorites to beat the Packers in Sunday's NFL wildcard playoff game. Both teams are expected to have their starting quarterbacks available. Both Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love took part in team activities Thursday. Hurts has been out since suffering a concussion December 22nd. Love hurt his elbow in the last game against the Chicago Bears. Coach Matt LaFleur says the team is excited about getting the opportunity to play.
I feel like we've got a confident group, but we know it's going to be a great challenge, and that's part of the fun. I don't think anything in life that's worth doing is without challenge, and so you got to embrace that and attack on and control the things that are fully within your control. And it starts for us. It starts with our preparation. So I never like to compare. I think every year is a little bit different.
A diving interception off an ill-advised pass set up Notre Dame's trip to play for the program's 12th national title after a thrill, a minute 27-24 victory over Penn State last night in the semifinal at the Orange Bowl. And the border battle between Wisconsin and Minnesota will likely fill the Kohl Center tonight. Tip-off for the Big Ten Conference game is scheduled for 6 p.m. The Golden Gophers bring an 0-4 record into the showdown. The team's top scorer is senior forward Dawson Garcia, who averages just over 18 a ball game. Hear the game this evening on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. I'm Phil Nee with sports.
LS tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs.
Michelle Reinen from DATCAP is the guest today on Sunrise from the Center.
We can see some red flags in this. You know, a prize is a prize. You don't need to pay money to receive it. You might have taxes and fees come out of your winnings, but you don't need to pay out of your pocket in order to receive that prize. And be suspicious of any claim that you've won a lottery or some sweepstakes that you never signed up for. You know, you need to be signing up for these in order to win them. So no matter how real a lottery letter looks, always do your research, verify those claims independently before believing them, and don't let that scammer use those high-pressure tactics like deadlines and final notices steal your own money out of your pocketbook.
Right. I know you would have updates at DATCAP, but I'm guessing the lottery office, they would be a resource too, wouldn't they?
They could also be a potential resource. They're not going to be on some of these letters and sweepstakes, but if they indicate any way, shape, or form that it's one of the national lotteries or Wisconsin lotteries, yes, they would be a good alternative to check things out with.
Well, folks are vulnerable when they have a loved one in hospice, and it's really sad to hear that there are some frauders out there taking advantage of people, Michelle.
There are. This one we received from our national partner, the Federal Trade Commission. They report that scammers are targeting older adults with calls, text messages, emails, fake ads, and even door-to-door visits. And the scammers are claiming that they'll set the consumer up with free in-home services like free cooking, cleaning, and home health care. But what they're not telling the consumer is how this is going to happen. What the scammer just wants to commit fraud by signing consumers up for care through Medicare, and then they're going to bill Medicare for all kinds of services in the consumer's name. But what we need to know here is that hospice care is a specialized service. It's often done at home for people with terminal illnesses approaching that end of life. And only a doctor can certify that someone is eligible for hospice care. So if someone is signed up for hospice that doesn't need it, this can actually impact their Medicare coverage in the future when they may need this service. So anyone who tells a consumer differently, that a doctor doesn't need to be involved or that they can sign you up, that is a scam, and you need to avoid it.
What are some other things to avoid, Michelle?
Well, never give your Medicare number to someone offering free services like housekeeping or cooking. Medicare just doesn't offer free services like that. And never agree to sign up for hospice care in exchange for perks or gifts like money, gift cards, or groceries. And know that Medicare will never come to your home to sign you up for services. If someone comes to your door, says they're from Medicare, and tries to get you to sign up for services, they're just plain lying, and don't give them any information. Call 1-800-MEDICARE to report what is happening and what kind of contacts you've had.
Well, I think the number one resolution is to get in shape. So a lot of people could be looking at gym and fitness center memberships. What is the latest there in terms of ways to stay out of a jam there with scammers?
Well, the first thing is to shop around. You know, before you purchase a gym or fitness center membership, be sure to understand the terms and conditions of any membership that you're looking at, including the length of time and the payment amounts that you'd be responsible for. Understand the fitness center's cancellation policies and ask a customer service representative if you have questions, things like figuring out what's important to you in a fitness center. So what's the location options, the hours, what equipment do they have available? Don't give in to sales pressures. They may ask you to sign up right away or say that this offer is limited time. Still, take your time to make sure you're picking the right one. And again, know the costs. Understand when and how discounts will end, how long you're committing to paying for a membership by taking advantage of them. And then try it out. See if you can get a trial time period before you commit. Ask for that visitor pass so you can see how the facility suits you. Do they have the classes you want during the times that you will be able to use the club? See if there's long lines for equipment. But be sure you're going during the hours that work best for you so you're evaluating it on the right criteria. And then get a sample contract. Read all those terms and conditions of the membership contract before signing and paying anything.
Sometimes some of the new fitness centers might not even be open that long. If it's a new business, you know, maybe struggles a little bit. What happens in that regard?
Yeah, so some new centers close within a short period of time or they fail to open at all, as you mentioned. So contracts must guarantee that unopened locations and services will be available for use within 6 months of signing. If any facility or service becomes unavailable during the length of the contract, the consumer is entitled to choose an adjusted refund or transfer of the unused portion of the membership to any affiliated center. And if they choose a refund, it's the center's responsibility to provide the consumer with the adjusted refund. If another company buys that facility that you joined, the new owner may be under no obligation to honor your contract. So keep that in mind for how much you maybe prepay in advance of using services. So if something closes, you're not out a lot of money. If you collect more than $100 before using services, then the facility needs to have proof of financial responsibility on file with DADCAP. So you can call in advance to signing a contract to check out to be sure that proof of financial responsibility is on file with us.
This is the time of year we start to look at our funds, maybe start to look at canceling subscriptions, like maybe a TV or satellite package or whatever the case might be. Sometimes it's hard to get a hold of anybody to do those cancellations, Michelle.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned a few. It could be those video streaming platforms, phone or cable contracts, magazines, subscription boxes, so many options. But this all starts before you subscribe or agree to any recurring fees. Look at the company's refund, return, and cancellation policy and take note of any cancellation fees. Now, you might already be down the path, so anything new you're going to do, take that step. But if you're making a one-time purchase or starting a free trial, check if you are also agreeing to any automatic renewals. And then while some companies make it difficult to cancel their services because they hope consumers will just become frustrated and give up on trying to end, there are ways. If you can't cancel your subscription in an app, try logging in directly to the company's website, because often you can see more options on the full website than on the app and navigate it more easily. And if you're routed to multiple different agents who try different sales pitches to keep you subscribed by phone, have patience. Make sure you've got the allotted time to get through it, but continue to inform them that you want to cancel your service. Keep going with that. And if you just can't get through, contact DadCap and let us know all the attempts that you've made so we can also assist with making contact with the company to get things canceled.
They do give you the runaround sometimes, don't they?
Some do make it more difficult than others. And so we do want to know about those that are making it difficult and not transparent in how to cancel those subscriptions.
All right. We're off on a good track here for the new year, Michelle. And looking ahead to February, what are we going to be talking about next month? Any idea?
Oh, my guess is we'll probably talk and remind everyone about those romance scams that are out there. I'm sure we'll be talking about the top 10 consumer complaints is likely going to be a category, and probably some form of identity theft issues is my guess, based on the timing of things. But in the meantime, if anyone has any questions or concerns that pop up or something to report, reach out to the Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
All right. Always good to talk to you, Michelle.
Well, you take care and have a great start to the new year.
You bet. Happy New Year. We hope that our conversation can keep somebody out of a jam. That would be our main goal. Michelle Reinen, Administrator from Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection on today's morning show. Tom Miller from Miller Implement is our guest on WRCO Radio. Well, Tom, maybe some snow on Sunday. What have you heard?
Well, you never know. Whatever the forecaster says, he's got a 50-50 chance of being right, and 90% of the time he's totally wrong. So plan it that way. How's that sound?
That sounds good. Yeah, that's about right. They're wrong quite a bit of the time, and they still have a job. I'm not sure how that works.
Isn't that something? Well, it must be a federal job or something like that. Huh? But anyhow, what's going on in Miller-Ittman, of course, is if it does snow, we have some rebates right now on the Husky line, and it's well worth your time to stop and pick one up. A lot of people are basically hunkering down and, of course, dealing with the cold and et cetera. But if that snow comes along and you don't want a shovel, it's a good time to stop at Miller-Ittman. We got a lot of things going on. Not only are there snow deals, we have 10% off on all of our handheld Husqvarna tools, electric or gas. And then on some items, we have 20% off, which we call an overstock. And so there's some really good deals there. We have exited the line of steel. We no longer have any steel products other than parts, and that they're all 10% off. So if you're looking for chains or oil or bars or stuff for your weed eater, give us a holler. We're going to save you some money, and basically that will go till we're out of them. So our commitment to Husqvarna has expanded. The line for Husqvarna has been very good for us. We are doing very well. So the nice thing about the Husqvarna line that we also have plenty of what we call arborist tools, ropes and throw pads and things like that, and top handle saw. So if you're really looking to handle trees and et cetera, we literally have everything here at Mueller Implement. So want to stop and take a look at those things. As far as lawnmowers, you know what? People are still buying lawnmowers, we have a 5% off cash discount on our Aaron's Gravely right now for homeowner items, and that's cash or check, and that's actually a good deal for those people that are trying to lock in not only a good price, but old price, because that's what it is. And you have a chance, if you want to leave it here to store and not take it to home, you can leave it here till spring. So that makes it so easy for you to buy, leave, and then pick it up in the spring. So keep that in mind as a great savings. But we have really traded in a lot of used, and our used is priced right, ready to go. So if you're looking for some used items, stop in and visit us. We really have a large selection of those units. You know, Phil, the size of our operation is large. A lot of people don't realize that the volume that we do. We have a great service department. The service department pulls in from every direction. 60, 70 miles is not uncommon. And because it's hard to find service people out there, it really is, especially in the small engines and technical items that people need. So best thing you can do is get here to Dodgeville, Wisconsin. We're here at 4948 Highway YZ, right across from Midwest Roofing. And, of course, those little guys, Farm and Fleet, the lights are on this morning. So I guess they're going to stay there for a while. But we're great neighbors. They need help, so don't be afraid to help them out. We're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, 8 to noon on Saturday. And if you go to www.MuellerRental.com, that's our internet site, you'll see the specials there, especially for Husky and all those other things. The 10% discount, though, on Husky is Mueller Implement only. No other Husky deal in the country is doing that currently. The key here to everything, of course, is if you go to the Mueller site on Craigslist, that's on the left-hand side, you'll see our used and other specials we have. We are an Aaron's Gravely dealer, a Husqvarna dealer, and, of course, Wacker Neuson, which is a construction line, and Landmaster, which is a UTV line. All of our products are American-made, even the line as far as the Wacker line, even though it's a German company, it's made here in Milwaukee. So keep that in mind. We do not sell Chinese equipment. Don't intend to, and beware, we don't service Chinese equipment. So that is something that we're discovering you can't get parts. One of the reasons we're leaving steel is because of obsolescence of parts. That means something's 10 years old, they're obsoleting it, so you can't get parts for it. So very frustrating in our industry. Research what you're going to do. If you have questions on purchasing an item, I don't care if it's a competitor item, give us a holler. We'll tell you the ins and outs, the goods, the bads. And if it's a good machine, we're not going to lie to you. We're going to say, yeah, that's a great machine. And if you got a good deal going, that's good. But here at Miller, it's all about helping out the customer, making sure he feels comfortable and really understands that we're here for you, not necessarily just for ourselves. And we want you back as many times as we can get you.
All right. Just look for the suave and debonair fellow there at the front desk there with the goofy hat, right?
Well, yeah, but he's the idiot. There's a lot of other people here that are much better. So
okay.
Key to